Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, it's Matthew Appleby here with Chris Francis from Hillier at Sion Park, Hillier's new garden centre in West London. So, Chris, Sion Park is going to be different from the other Hilliers. How is it going to be different?
When we took on Sion Park, we definitely recognised that it was a unique environment and it did need to be a very different business. We obviously have a very strong brand. We have a very good quality product and offer in the rest of our centres, but just felt we needed to take that on another step for Sion Park and just make sure that we match the unique environment. And obviously, we decided we wanted to target a higher end customer. I think the best comparison that I can make is one that I know well and one that comes from my past, and that's the comparison of Peter Jones and how it sits in the John Lewis partnership. You know, I remember that the John Lewis partnership was very consistent across all of its branches, and Peter Jones was a business that sat in Sloane Square and was just a slightly different type of business, a little more unique and did its own thing. And I think that's what we've done when we've looked at Sion Park. And obviously, as part of that, I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity of bringing David Morley on board. And David worked in the partnership at the same time as me for many years and was actually the general manager at Peter Jones for quite a number of years. So really understood that unique difference we wanted to bring to us.
So the Peter Jones of garden centres. Well, we're here in the restaurants, and that's unique too. You probably hear some of the people training to be baristas in the background, but can you tell us what's different about the restaurant?
At Sion Park, actually, we've got the opportunity of having two different catering offers. We've got Clock Tower Cafe, which is under the old Clock Tower and the Coach House, and it's a much smaller, very sort of modern-looking transformation where we're going to do the everyday sort of coffee, cakes, slightly smaller offer, and then it allows us in the main restaurant that used to try and be one service for all, we've got the opportunity to actually do a slightly higher end table service offer, very much a more restaurant feel about it. So we no longer have the long counter, the trays that you pick up, move along the counter. It's very much like a restaurant where you'll come in, be greeted at the door at a point, taken to your table, sat down, and actually use the facility very much like you would use a more traditional bistro style restaurant.
One of the other points of difference you've got here is homegrown plants. And I was thinking earlier what a masterstroke it was to focus all your production on the Hillier Garden Centres this year. So, Chris, was that planned?
Absolute geniuses, weren't we? No, you know, with hindsight, what an amazing decision. But at the time, whether we'd had, you know, the coronavirus issue and the lockdowns and everything, it was absolutely the right decision for the business. We have been growing the business. We did have a nursery that probably was concentrating on supply to other customers more than it was supplying its own garden centres. And actually in the nursery we had such a unique proposition. We had a very high quality product that if we worked on it properly, we would actually be able to fill our plant areas with a very unique high quality product that gave us a real point of difference to it to any other garden centre business. And I think certainly one thing I see in the market today, and something that is going to be very important, as the supply base rationalises and there are fewer and fewer suppliers, and potentially every business has the same range, we start to have the opportunity of having a whole range of product that is different to everybody else. And I think that's great, because it doesn't only work for us, it works for other businesses around us as well, because we can all have a different offer. But we're very much concentrating on making sure the product that we have coming off of our nursery is absolutely top-notch A1 grade quality product. It's not about value engineering the product in any way. It's about having a really high quality product where we're not afraid to charge the right price for the production of that product.
Now, history. Hillier has a great history and Sion Park has a great history, and they two marry up at one point, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, what was fascinating, on the first day I talked about Sion Park, Robert produced he ran upstairs to the archives and he came back down again and he produced this little book. And this book was a book that was almost a diary of Edwin Hillier, Robert's great-grandfather. And he was really keen to show me, because in the book there was a whole extract of the period that Edwin Hillier worked at Sion Park. And he was actually, during his apprenticeship, and I think they used to call it journeyman work, he was here working in the Brand Conservatory at Sion Park. So, yeah, our history actually has a touch point a long way back.
Wow, 100-odd years ago, well over 100 years ago. What other points of difference do you have here from your average garden centre? And you in particular, what's your background at Sion? You must have been here a few times over the years.
Yeah, I've obviously known Sion, you know, at different stages in my Wyvale days. Remember visiting here quite regularly and having the head office sat on this site. So the first time I came, it brought back some rather interesting memories, and you certainly reminisce initially. But I think now we're really bringing a very different proposition to Sion Park. I think it's changed, you know, dramatically in the way we've worked with the estate, and you know, the estate have been very willing to invest considerably in certain aspects of the site, and we've obviously brought our own unique touch to the business. We're obviously in a great position. We have some fantastic product. We've been able to use our ability to grow semi-mature trees, and we're able to bring those to the site, you know, and really show some of the sort of heritage that we have as Hillier, and also bring our story to the site. And it's really useful that we have such a tradition and such a long history. To start bringing that history to life on the site really sort of matches with the age of the estate as well, so they work really well in synergy.
And how did it come about, you getting hold of this site? Because it must have been in great demand. I think it was probably the last Wyvale to be picked up.
Yeah, well, actually, I think we came into it at a fairly late stage, because I had a phone call just to say, look, the estate are interested in letting Sion Park. They've got a number of parties interested. But I did just talk to them. This was an agent who said, I did just mention your name and, you know, obviously your history at Chelsea. And immediately the people on the estate were very interested, because we do have that synergy. So we, you know, we had an initial meeting. We found actually as teams we got on really well. We have the same sort of you know, ethics and culture, and we've been very good at working together, and we continue to work together almost like one business, and I think that's going to be, and that was really important for the estate, and is going to be really important moving forwards, that we work together rather than maybe in the past at times businesses have rubbed up against each other and not have the same sort of goal. One of the really important things for the estate was they came down to Ampfield and visited and had a look around our business, but not only had a look around our business, walked the Arboretum with us. And I think at that point they realised that we were already used to working in a commercial way alongside that type of open public space venture, and they're very keen to invest in the gardens and grounds at Sion and see that working in the same sort of way as we do at Ampfield.
The Hilly is not necessarily known in London for garden centres, but it is known for Chelsea. So have you found moving into London, people recognise the name?
Yeah, I think I've been really amazed at the number of people that have shown an interest in our opening and in Hilly as a brand being here. We're never ever totally sure when we open in a new place how well our brand is recognised. But over the past few weeks, our switchboard has almost gone into meltdown with the number of people who are phoning and asking, when are you going to open? And talking about Hillier as a brand and a business they recognise for a quality plant product. So that bodes really well for opening.
Does that mean Hillier is expanding its reach? Are you going to be, I don't know, Essex, East Anglia, Newcastle, Scotland? Where are you going?
I don't think so. I think, at one point, as a retail business, yes, you'd want to expand, across the country. I think there are still one or two opportunities in the South Coast, below the M4 generally, that may come about and will be right for us. And, we'll be interested in those opportunities as they come along. But I think now, actually, it's about expanding into different areas and actually our soon-to-be introduction of a whole online offer actually allows us to expand, above and beyond our current reach. So it changes our model.
And you're not doing Chelsea this year, but you are doing Bewley pretty soon, a Gardener's World show. What are you going to be doing there?
That was, again, an interesting approach. Gardener's World Live have obviously been running a very successful show at the NEC for a number of years. And the company behind it actually looked at their subscribership and their readership and realised that they had a real core of readership in the Hampshire area and also one over in the east of England, and decided they wanted to start expanding the Gardener's World Live experience outside of the one main show and bring it right down to the south of England. So they talked to us about probably 2 or 3 years ago about the possibility of being involved and bringing some sort of central display to the Gardener's World Live that they decided they'd hold at Bewley. And actually, we've been working together with them over probably the last year, 18 months, and developing a concept for a show where they bring all their expertise, but we really are the sort of cornerstone of the show. So we're going to have a main exhibit that sits right in the middle of the showground, and we get a really good retail opportunity within that ground. And actually, we've also agreed that we will be the main sponsor of that event for the next 3 years as we really grow and establish that event. So that's really exciting, actually, because it's something that works obviously for Gardener's World and very much for us, because it's right in our heartland, in our home area.
And just looking at 2021 so far and into the rest of the year, how has it gone so far? What issues and opportunities have you found, and how is it going to pan out for the rest of the year?
Yeah, well, look, I think, all things considered, it's gone remarkably well. I really, every day I look at the sales figures, and, at the end of every week, I sort of see us surpassing another record and just thinking it's absolutely incredible that during this time, as a retailer, we're seeing the sort of growth we're seeing. Although there have been one or two issues with supply, I'm amazed at how well the supply chain has reacted. I know they're all doing a phenomenal job. I know my buying team are working endless hours trying to make sure we secure product, and up until now I think it's worked really well for us, and everybody's worked well together. I think this slight lull we've seen in the last week or two, where we've had the cold weather, has probably helped us all just sort of catch our breath and get back on track. And I think that's important, because I think as the weather changes again, we are going to see a continuation of that sort of rate of sale. I don't think it's going to stop. I do think, obviously, when we get to May and those amazing weeks we had when we reopened, we're unlikely to actually match those numbers I still do think we'll still see significant sales through that period. And I also think sales will continue on into the summer because there is a different audience out there now. There are a lot of people who've got into their gardens again. There are so many people who have worked from home. All of a sudden, their outdoor space, whatever that may be, has become so important to them while they've been locked down in their houses. You know, it's the one opportunity to get out and get a bit of fresh air. And I think the amazing thing is how many people are using that, and they've looked at that area and they want to make that area an important part of their home and their house.
Just lastly, what developments has Hillier got lined up for the future?
So, next development on the cards is our garden centre at Newbury. We've obviously had a planning permission to add a new building and 35,000 square feet of retail space. That development begins in June, and we hope to have that open for Easter 22. And that will really make that a large destination site, and we certainly hope has the potential to be our biggest garden centre by far. And then beyond that, we obviously have two of the ex-Wyvale centres, Three Legged Cross and Lechlade, that we haven't done a lot of work with. We did some sort of low-level work there just to get the places back up to scratch. But the other three that we bought at the same time, we fully refurbished and refitted, and now it's the turn of Three Legged Cross and Lechlade, and we'll move on to those hopefully over the winter period of this year.
And on the nursery side, you've got some things lined up?
So on the nursery, I mean, interestingly, we're expanding the nurseries all the time. When we took the decision to supply only our own garden centres, we actually thought we would only need half the site. So we mothballed half of that site, and we used all the covered space still, but you know, we're growing across only half of the site. Well, in the last year, we've now expanded and we're growing back across the whole site, and unbelievably, we have more pots on the ground now than we had when we were supplying an external market. So we are continuing to invest in some of the structures and making sure we have the ideal structures to grow plants. You know, in really nice indoor environments.
Great, okay, well, thanks for all that, Chris. Very good to speak to you, and every success with Sion Park, the rest of the business for the rest of the year. Make sure you never miss a Horticulture Week podcast. Subscribe to or follow Hort Week podcast via Apple iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. And once again, thank you and goodbye till the next time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.